We're in chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 1 through 6. James 5, 1 through 6. Let's stand for the reading of God's word.
Good morning. James 5, 1 through 6, page 1198. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of the slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. Please remain standing for prayer.
Lord, you are the Lord, and there is no other. And as we are here in your presence, we submit to your lordship. We submit to your authority. You have absolute authority over every part of our lives, and that includes our money and how we spend it. And so, Lord, we want to submit everything about our spending and our wealth and our stuff, Lord, all to you. So that you would speak directly into areas of our life that need to be changed or challenged, God. And that's just true for all of us. So we're here, Lord, to submit to whatever you have to say through your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Oh, no. You can bring it back. Thanks. That's, yeah, exactly. Forgot my clicker. Thanks, Eris. I don't know about you, but when you heard that reading of that scripture, you may have heard, boy, that could be just as well spoken to us. Living in luxury. I mean, the truth of the matter is that 95% of all the wealth in this world is confined to the 5% that live here in this country. And we are among that 5%. So when it comes to luxury, boy, we're swimming in it compared to people in the third world, compared to the rest, most of the world out there. And I'm glad that a lot of you have had connections with the third world. Some of you come from the third world, but you know what it's like out there and how good we have it here. We're blessed beyond measure here in terms of material stuff. And so this word, I want it to be a word that we really just have an open heart to, a open mind to, because this could very easily be us, and this is probably us. So it's a startling word when James is starting off. He says, now listen, you rich people, that is us, okay? We are the rich people. In the world, we are the rich, okay? Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. So here James is giving this startling word of warning to those who are rich. And it's not a word that is saying, hey, rich, to be rich is bad. It's not bad to have riches. James is going to unfold that for us. What's bad is if riches have you. That's the bad part. You can have your stuff, but if your stuff has you, then woe to you. Warning, all right? Danger. That's what he's saying. So as we just picked up from the last chapter, moving into this, James had just been talking to the believers about the sin of presumption. Remember, don't make plans thinking that your life just goes in this straight line that you control from A to whatever your goal is. That's not how life works. because you're not in control of your destiny. You're not in control of your life, right? So when you make your plans, you're always making your plans, but God always has the last word. And so we want to let God have the last word. But James is thinking, I'm sure, so where does this thinking come from that makes you think that life is something you can control? And he's broadening the scope out to say, well, it's in our culture. It's in the world we live in. It's in the water we drink. We are consumed by this mindset that says, hey, you can just control your life if you have enough resources, if you've got enough stuff, if you've got enough money, then you can make your life work to where you want it to go. So James is pulling back from just talking to the church, and he's talking to everybody now, as if he would be talking to this nation, talking to all of us in this society, in our culture. And it's a stern word. It almost sounds like an Old Testament prophet, the way that James is talking against the rich and the oppressor who abused their power against the poor. So he shifts this voice from a pastor's voice to a prophetic voice. And it's a word that can speak to all of us. So while he's speaking to the country and the culture and society, he really does want the church to overhear what he's saying, because he doesn't want the church to just get washed away into the culture's attitude about riches. Okay, so he rebukes the culture, but he wants us to be able to say, don't follow suit. Don't go along with the culture. This word of warning, it's kind of like when you're driving in your car and you want to change lanes, and you look in the rearview mirror and you look in the side mirror and it looks clear, and then you start turning into the lane, and all of a sudden there's this honk, this horn that just goes off, and it sounds like it's just like 5 feet away from you, and you just adrenaline, blood pressure, all of that, and you jolt back into your lane. That's what this passage is like. It's because there's a blind spot. That blind spot, we didn't actually turn around and check to see around our blind spot for that car that was the danger that we were going to run into. This is the problem that James is also identifying. He's saying, look, you have a blind spot. You're not paying attention to how materialism is creeping in on your own heart and soul and life. That's your blind spot. That's our blind spot. Why? Because we're living in it. We're swimming in it. We are in this hyper-consumer-oriented culture, and it's all around us. And materialism has the power to blind us to it. We don't even see it because it's all around us, right? It's like the frog in the kettle. Like, he doesn't know that he's in danger. It's just that the water's getting warmer and warmer and warmer until he dies. That's what materialism is like. It's our major blind spot in our culture. And so maybe today you didn't think you had a problem with materialism, because you're like, if you saw my checking account, you wouldn't think I'm living in the lap of luxury. And maybe you wouldn't even come today to hear this message. I don't need it. I don't need this one. That tells you that you need it. That tells you, if you don't think you have a problem with materialism, you probably have a problem with materialism. Here's the thing. When was the last time you confessed the sin of materialism? God, I'm sorry. I've been accumulating too much stuff. Or God, I've been hoarding all my money and my wealth. When was the last time we actually made that confession? There's plenty of other confessions maybe you've made, but when was the last time you confessed materialism? That's part of it. It's part of the problem. If we don't confess it, we don't see it because we're blind to it. So how and why does materialism blind us? Because it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and our culture is saying, here is how you gain identity and security and significance. Have more stuff. Get more wealth. Get more riches. Get more things. Why? Because if you have more things, you'll have that sense of control. If you have more money, you'll have that sense of security. If you have more stuff, you'll have significance in your life. It's all a big fat lie. All of it. So this is the problem that we have. It's all around us, and it's selling us identity and security and meaning. And we sometimes, if we're not discerning of it, it just seeps into our thought life. And we start thinking, yeah, I need to go get that because it makes me feel better about myself, or it makes me feel like I'm somebody. I need to get the latest gadget. I need to get those clothes. I need to buy that house because I start feeling like I'm somebody. That's exactly what our culture is trying to sell us on with materialism. It's so if you see ads today on the Super Bowl, right? What are they now? $5 million for an ad? These guys know what they're doing. They are putting ads out there. They're not just selling you an article of clothing. You know that. They're selling you identity and meaning and significance. If you buy these pair of pants, you'll be part of the community of the beautiful. If you buy these pair of pants, you will be the inspired. Right? If you buy this piece of furniture, you will live that dream that you've been dying to live. That's the sell. It's not just the stuff. It's the identity and meaning that they're selling you as well. And so you ask yourself, why do I feel like I need to buy that? Do I need to buy that so I feel like I'm somebody? Do I need to buy that so I feel significant? Do I need to have that because if I don't have that, I'll be nobody? That's the way that they advertise. One of my favorite classes when I took it at USF was consumer behavior. This is what they talked about. We looked at advertisements and they said, what is the meaning that they are trying to sell you on? Not just the product, but what's the meaning that they're trying to give you? If you have this, you'll have meaning in your life. So it's out there. They know what they're doing, and they're selling it to you this way, all of us, okay? So are we being discerning in how we're actually choosing to buy things? You go into some stores, and it's like a spiritual experience. You know what I mean? I go to some stores, and it's like, wow, you smell, you know, the hot tea going, and then you get somebody who's willing to give you a massage, and all I wanted to do is just buy some shampoo, you know? But they're willing to give you this whole thing that says, oh, if you buy this product, you will reach another plane of existence. That's the deceit. That's the blinding of materialism. Okay, so if you don't have a lot of money, it doesn't even matter. This is not just a matter of, you know, if you're rich or poor. A poor person can have an issue with materialism too, because a poor person may just be dreaming of one day having this, and then someday their life will be better. That's materialism too. So you can be poor and still have this attitude of materialism that corrupts your own heart and your soul. If you think that, oh, if I just one day get it, then I'll be okay, right? So this is how materialism really blinds us. It's very powerful, and it's subtle, and it's all around us, and we're swimming in it. And unless we're actually discerning all the time of, oh, am I buying this because I want identity or meaning or significance, then, man, we're getting lost. We're getting washed away in our culture's advertising. So, two things. Materialism blinds us to its impermanence. Okay, so look at verses 2 and 3. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Has anyone ever seen clothes that are eaten by moths? It's interesting, because when you go into your closet and you see that thing hanging, you know, that shirt that's hanging on your hanger, it still looks like a shirt until you touch it, and then it crumbles, right? This is the deceit. The deceit is, hey, it still looks like a shirt until you touch it, and it crumbles. That's the thing about materialism. Verse 3, your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. I won't get into hoarding. That's like a whole other thing. But that's the idea. It is I want more stuff, more stuff, more stuff, because I need it to give me meaning. Well, here's the thing. If you need stuff to give you meaning, what happens when your stuff decays? There goes your meaning. There goes your identity. It's down the toilet, right? So all of your stuff, it decays. Now where are you? Who are you? I'm nothing, because my meaning just got eaten by moths and corrupted. So now what am I doing? I'm either chasing meaning in something else, or I need more stuff. I need more stuff because I need my meaning back. So this is why hoarding happens. I need stuff that makes my life stable and secure. And if my stuff decays, I need more stuff. That's pretty much the cycle. See, the cycle just keeps going on and on and on. So this is why material blinds us. It blinds us to how it wants me to buy the latest thing and get more stuff. Accumulate, 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 because I need it for my identity. If it fades away, there goes my identity. So I need more stuff, right? So James calls the rich to radically reorient themselves from relying on the impermanence of material stuff to find stuff that's permanent. What has lasting value? What has eternal value? That's where I want to find my identity. I want my identity in something that doesn't fade away. And that we know is in Jesus. We'll get to that. But Jesus also talks about this destructiveness. He says to them, weep and wail because there's a misery that's coming on you. It's probably Jesus referring to what happens to Jerusalem in 70 AD. Luke 19, here's Jesus. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Here's your permanence. Here's what has lasting value. It's God. It's Jesus. It's his favor. It's his salvation. That's where you find your identity. If you don't, judgment. Judgment. That's an interesting way to look at what to do with your life on the judgment day. You need to have your life grounded in something that's eternal or it will burn. That's what he's getting at. And that's what James is getting at. So all of our stuff has no power to keep us up and uphold us on the day of judgment. Because it all burns, it all corrodes, it all fades away. You don't want to build your identity on something that fades away. You want to build your identity on something that will last. And what will last? Jesus. He's the one who lasts. So materialism blinds us to its impermanence. Number two, materialism blinds us to the needs of the oppressed. Look at this, tragic, in verse 4. Look, there he says, look, you've been blinded. Look, open your eyes. The wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. He's saying that these rich people in this culture have gotten their riches on the backs of the poor, on the backs of those workers that they don't even pay. Now you might think, is this happening today? Yeah, it's happening today. There's slavery is happening today, right? We've talked about slavery, but there are more slaves today in the world than at any other point in history. And many of those slaves are working slaves. They're the ones who are enslaved. They've been kidnapped. They've been brought into these places where they're not allowed to leave the premises and they have to work from children on up. This is happening today. And so International Justice Mission is a group that goes out and tries to deliver and rescue people like this out of this kind of slavery. But it's happening. It's happening. Materialism blinds us to the realities of slavery in the world. Materialism blinds us to the poor in the world. the injustice in the world. You know, one of the things that we may not even be aware of is how the companies that we're working for are hurting the poor in our city, where there's a lot of native San Franciscans who are living middle class, lower middle class, who are getting forced out of their homes because some of these companies are bringing in a lot of income, and a lot of these people are coming in and living and moving in and kicking out a lot of people who are on the poverty line here in the city. You might work for a company like that, but we don't think about that because the company gives us our paycheck, right? We need the pay, and we don't think about the responsibility that we have with working for a company that does things that are unjust, right? So materialism blinds us to the needs of the oppressed around us. It blinds us to how we put money over people, how we put productivity over relationships. Materialism blinds us. If we base our identity in it, we don't even think about the effects that it has on our priorities. Think about the sneakers you're wearing. Who made those? Was it someone in a sweatshop in another part of the world who doesn't get a living wage? It's likely. There's a lot of companies out there that hire workers this way, right? So on the backs of the poor, I'm wearing my sneakers, right? So we have to be discerning. And there's ways that we can be discerning about the companies that we buy products from. If we just go online and Google them, you can find out, okay, who has good labor practices that are fair around the world. Then we can find those things out. So this is how materialism, though, blinds us. If I just want my pair of sneakers because I think it'll help me be somebody or it'll get me some street cred or whatever, then I'll just buy the sneakers and not even think about who made those sneakers and at what wage and at what price, right? That's the blinding power of materialism. So how do we break the power of materialism? How can we see through it? How do we see past materialism? So a few things. One, treasure Jesus. Treasure Jesus. Faith in Christ brings the meaning and identity that we need so that we know we are beloved. We know that we have an eternal future. So faith in Jesus means I can treasure someone who is giving me eternal value, eternal beauty. Treasure something. Remember, treasuring means, yeah, I got someone who I feel gives my life worth, right? Think of Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, you had Sméagol, right? And for him, his treasure was the ring. And what did he call that ring? Yeah, you're saying it in his voice too. That's cool. Yeah. My precious. He treasured that ring, and when the ring was even thrown into the fires of Mordor, there goes Sméagol into the fire itself, but he's holding his ring as he dies, right? That's treasuring, right? That's the treasuring of materialism. But when we treasure Jesus, we're saying, oh, Jesus, you're the one who gives shape to my meaning, shape to my identity, shape to my worth. You're the one who has eternal value, and you're the one who is worth everything to me. So, right? This is what we just sang. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. That's treasuring Jesus. Do you treasure him? Is he first in your heart? Is he central to your affections? If you do, then the issue of materialism becomes less of an issue, because now materialism has no way into your identity. It has no way into your security or your significance, because you already have it. You already have it, right? We already have it in Christ. So the greatest antidote to materialism is treasuring Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, good. All right. And then the second thing, how do we see past materialism? Be present with people. Value relationships over productivity. We are so productivity driven. That's a big one for me. When I can start to value people over productivity, then I can be with them and value them for who they are. Building relationships. Slow down. Intentionally slow down. Intentionally make space in our schedules for people, for being with people. This is so important. I don't want to be a consumer of goods. I want to be present and loving my neighbor. That's what I want to be. You know, this mentality of materialism creeps into the church, consumer mindset of the church, where we come to church and we think, I'm coming to the service. I want to hear a good word. I want to sing some good songs. And maybe I'll do a little socializing afterwards and then I go home. Right? That's materialism talk. Instead of coming to church and saying, I want to come ready to give. I want to come ready to bless. I want to come ready to let God use me to bless somebody else in this room. So because I am joined together with my brother and my sister and I want to be a blessing. Right? That's anti-materialism. But which is creeping into our thoughts? You know, when Trish and I were on sabbatical together and we were going to different churches in the city, we were kind of pained a little bit by how much churches are feeding into this consumer mindset. Churches were kind of advertising to people, hey, we've got this mom's group, this couples group, we've got this preschool group, we got this, we got whatever you need. We've got it here. It's one-stop shopping, all you need. It's all here. And I was like, wow, what does this remind me of? Pretty much our culture and our advertising and our promotions, we're feeding this mindset of, hey, I'm here for me. I'm here to get and consume and then go home. And we were grieved by that was so prevalent by a lot of kind of the messaging in churches today. Look, if you come here, you're not going to get that. We're not going to give you, hey, we've got everything you need is here. Because come on, look at us. We're us, right? Right? We don't have everything we need. But here's the thing. We don't want to become that either. Where our emphasis is always going to be, if you look at our values, one of them, relational. Our emphasis is always, hey, come and be with people who are going to love you and you can love as well. Right? It's always about people and being a blessing. And we're going to keep it that way, even if we don't grow. Okay? I'm serious. Right? If we're here so that we can just get stuff from church, then you need to find another church. Seriously. Because we're not going to be that. That's not us. But if you're here so that you can be joined together and be known and you can bless and love and be loved because we are about people and not programs, then you found the right place. It's amazing how many people struggle with this, though. And that's because their church experiences have been something else. It's been a consumer mindset. And then they come here and they go, where's the program? Where's the services? Where's the stuff? We don't even give mugs or anything. I mean, we just, it's just us. It's just us. But this is the church. The church is not the building. The church is not the service. The church is people. It's us. It's us. We are what God has to offer the world. The church is the hope of the world because we embody the presence of Christ in the church. So it's us. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on that, but I did it. That happened. Okay. Address injustice. You want to get over the power of materialism. Address injustice. Treasure what's going on with the poor. Look at the poor in our city, not as a nuisance, but as people who are valued by Jesus. People who are loved by Jesus. Consider the oppressed around the world. Consider sponsoring a child through Nazarene Compassion Ministries. They are all living in poverty. Consider sponsoring a child for $30 a month. Or sign up with IJM, International Justice Mission, as they are trying to rescue people from slavery all over the world. $24 a month. It takes $1,000 to do one rescue, which also includes the rehabilitation of those that are rescued. $1,000. That's it. We can free a dozen people. We can free 20 people out of slavery for that. You know, when people in third world countries look at us and they look at the way that we buy things You know, so many people that talk to me from around the world, they say, you know, if you all just didn't buy so much stuff and then you just contributed your money to that orphanage, you know, for them, it's just plain as day. It's like, why wouldn't you do that when you have so much? Why wouldn't you contribute to those? But that's part of the blinding. It's part of the blinding in our culture. Two more. Give generously and sacrificially. You want to be able to be free from materialism? Then give it away. Just give it away as a practice of saying, hey, you don't have a hold on me. You don't form my identity. You don't give me meaning. Give it away. And that kind of giving is a good practice to just free your soul. It's like, I don't have to have this. I can donate this. I can give it away. Where do we get this from? Jesus. We get this kind of giving from Jesus. Jesus came into this world, Philippians 2, stripped himself of glory and privilege, and he gave himself away for us. For us. How did he do it? Generously and sacrificially, which means, yeah, give lavishly, but some of you can give a lot of money without it hurting. Sacrificially means give till it hurts. Give till it costs you something. It's like, oh, I'm depriving myself of something I would normally have, but instead of that, I'm going to give it away. That'll free us. That'll free us from materialism. So we get that from Jesus. So how much should you give then? We say tithing is 10%. Okay, that's a good starting place. Did Jesus give 10%? If Jesus gave 10% of his blood, would that be enough for us? I mean, at what point do you, right? If Jesus is the one you're treasuring and informing how you give, then there is really no number. There's no number. You give as Jesus gave. You sacrifice as Jesus gave. Let that be your guideline. That's your guideline, right? Look at your checking account. Look at your credit card account. You get statements, right? What's the statement your statement's making about what you treasure? What is your credit card statement to God about who you treasure? What is it stating? I treasure what? Right? This is what will allow us to say, am I really giving generously and sacrificially? Okay. Lastly, discern how you consume. Like I was saying, like, oh, okay. Where are you shopping? What are their practices? What are their labor practices? Do they have policies against slavery? I mean, is there things that you can find about this company or about these products, about where you get your shoes? Or you can find all that online. So be discerning about how you consume. And as you watch the Super Bowl today, ask yourself this question. What meaning and identity are they selling me with these shoes or that product? What is it that they're selling me that's not just about the product, but is giving me significance and meaning? Be discerning. Think it through. Why do I feel compelled to buy this product? Be discerning about it. So all of this is coming out of this blinding that materialism has done over us, and we need to expose it. We're trying to expose it, and we all need help exposing it for ourselves. And so as God's word is speaking to our own hearts, I'm wondering today, like, how are you being challenged? What is it? What is the action step for you? What is it something where you can actually start to see and turn and see that blind spot? What is it that you think you have that you feel like you have to have it? Because it'll make you somebody. Because it'll give you significance. Because your friends will say, wow, how cool. Or whatever it might be. What is it that's got a hold on you? How can we treasure Jesus more than that? How can we treasure Jesus more than that? Let's pray. Jesus, as we are about to go to the table and take communion and remember what you gave, what you sacrificed, Lord, you gave because you treasured us. You treasured us. And you gave everything because you treasured us that much, letting go all of your privilege and glory because you loved us. And then you gave it all. You were crucified and you died so you could have us. Lord, we want that to be reproduced in our own lives. That same love, God, that's willing to give away whatever for the sake of others. So as we come to this table, we pray that you would renew our mindset, renew our hearts, free us from materialism, and free us to love the way that you've loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we'll come to the table in a few minutes, but let's be in prayer and ask the Lord to search our hearts. Search our hearts. The hold of materialism is something that is subtle and takes discerning, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us with that. So let's allow the Spirit to speak to us in whatever way he needs to speak to us so that we'd be free from the grip of money and wealth and free by the beauty and the love of Jesus for us. We'll come back and we'll prepare to take communion.